Metamora, Michigan. Speakers include Father Ben Ludke, Professor Robert Vestigi, and others. First-class relics of Pope St. John Paul II will be presented. Please see at calltomary.org or call 248-808-8954.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm Sandra McDevitt. Today in Stories from the Heart, the story of a man who attends every Mass at the cathedral, always sits in the right center pew. He is a bit of an odd character, whom dubbed by an usher as the Hunchback of Holy Angels Cathedral. Stay tuned for a very charming and a very poignant story on Another Stories from the Heart. The Hunchback of Holy Angels Cathedral. It was Tom Tyler, an usher of arrogant efficiency, who dubbed Damien the Hunchback of Holy Angels. I despise the title, partially because of compassion for the person thereby demeaned, but mainly out of disdain for the illiteracy of him who plagiarized it. For Tom Tyler was an alien to literature, and if he had somehow heard of the Hound of Heaven and the Hound of the Baskervilles, probably would suppose they were dogs from the same pound. Anyway, one evening at the Knights of Columbus, over his second Seagram's and Seven, Tom pronounced the parody of the Hunchback, and everybody pounced upon it, applauding it as a perfect depiction of the pious eccentric who hovered always around or within Holy Angels Cathedral, and possessively preempted our front pew at right center for nearly every Mass and service. There were occasions, of course, when this place had rightly to be reserved, and at such times Damien, invariably an early arriver to his post, would listen placidly to Tyler's marching orders, but mutely decline to move. Usually the Monsignor had to be summoned to explain the matter, whereupon the naive invader would concede and proceed to his alternate perch, the foremost bench on the side aisle. Tom Tyler, however, never succeeded in extorting a single act of obedience from Damien, and hence felt jubilantly avenged when the nickname he minted caught on commandingly. Now, Damien was of ludicrous, not repulsive appearance, and spark comedic comment because of the fashion of his clothes, rather than through any bodily abnormality. Quasimodo, the fictional hunchback of Victor Hugo's creation, was not only monstrously deformed in spine, but hideously flawed in facial features as well. Damien's face, unmarred by any startling anomaly, was neither ugly nor handsome, and his body was neither crippled nor contorted. Admittedly, there was a slight slump to his shoulders, not due to any malformation, but due to a slackness of posture. Really, Tyler could more believably have likened Damien to Charlie Chaplin, since his pants, full and flaccid, fell into black puddles over his shoes, and his jacket came nearly to his knees. Apparently, he possessed many such suits, all of ebony hue, and all outlandishly oversized, for both he and his attire were always sanitary. But any crease that the dry cleaner impressed upon his costumes obviously wilted away as soon as Damien donned them. It was often wittily remarked that he was wearing the woolen of his ancestors, all men undoubtedly taller, thicker, and broader than he. I was cordial to the man, but escaped his presence rapidly, for his only topic was the Catholic religion, upon which he discoursed most dully. Even more threatening was his claim to have had a vision of and a dialogue with one St. Mogold, of whom I had never heard. Naturally, I judged that Damien had devised a fictitious saint all his own for private edification. But while paging through Butler's Lives of the Saints, I discovered that Mogold had not, after all, been manufactured from fantasy. Had Damien's sight of the supernatural included the Mother of God or St. Patrick, I might have heard him out, but my interest in delusional apparitions did not extend to a bishop who had died in 498. Still, Damian never seized upon people and compelled them to listen to a sacred tract. Having learned early that nobody wanted to tarry with him, he never revealed his thoughts unless overtly encouraged, and this rarely occurred. The Hunchback of Notre Dame of Paris was a bell ringer, but the charged Hunchback of Holy Angels performed no chore, official or otherwise, for the cathedral. He was an almost omnipresent phenomenon, either outside promenading on the plaza or inside standing, sitting, or kneeling in prayer. There had been a period when he would suddenly depart from his pew during the sermon and tramp noisily across the marble floor to pray before a distant statue, and of course, in the process, divert the whole audience from the words being spoken from the pulpit. However, the Monsignor who protected Damian from persecutors gave patient counsel and persuaded him to defer his devotion until Mass was over. All of us stole some solace from the enduring presence of Damian. His isolation allowed us to feel less lonely, and his strangeness assured us of our sanity. It sounds cruel, I know, but I wonder if it would be possible for Damian to be absent from the front pew on the side aisle during Brenda's wedding. In fact, I would wish he would not even be in church at all. Do you think it could be done without hurting his feelings? This was a quote from Mrs. Malcolm John Prescott, who had met with me to finalize arrangements for her daughter's marriage. The woman was weary. Most of the details of a lavish wedding had been left to her. The betrothed pair, both seniors, would be flying into town a week before the nuptial date. Despite my pity for Damian, I had some empathy with her request. But seeing to avoid skirmish, I said, "Why don't I call the Monsignor and let him decide?" "Well, he is stubborn, but I suppose we must." So I got hold of the right reverend pastor, who listened affably to her request. Being on a first-name basis with the whole Prescott clan, he was able to be forthright. "Come on, Dorothy," he said. "We scarcely even reserve the side aisles, and never for a wedding. Besides, you know, the church is like a public park. We cannot keep anybody out. You have been around long enough to know that every big city church has at least one religious oddball. When Damian is gone, another one will be right along to take his place. I just hope the next one is as sweet and nice as he." "All right, Monsignor, you win. But it is terribly unchristian of me to hope that Damian has a light case of the flu on that day, and nothing fatal, of course." "It sounds slightly unchristian to me, but I guess, under the circumstances, you're entitled." And so it was decided that the Hunchback of Holy Angels was not to be banished from the wedding of Brenda Prescott to Paul Villard. Damian did not have the flu on the festive day, but intimidated perhaps by the satin ribbon strung across the front pews, did go unbidden to his side aisle station. I watched the wedding from the sanctuary, since I was posing as master of ceremonies for the freshly ordained Father John Villard, brother of the groom, and for the first time an official at this ceremony of marriage. When I saw the bridal party, I understood why Mrs. Prescott feared that Damian might cast a slovenly shadow on the splendor of the pageant. For the entire coterie, 10 young men and as many comely women were attired in white even unto their shoes. The girls were frocked in a full flowing fabric. The boys were wearing tailored immaculate tuxedos, and Brenda, to be sure, was not only elaborately veiled and enchained, but also more richly enrobed than any of her attendants in a gown of intricate stitching and extravagant flounce. From the right lapel of each male sprang a single red rose, and every maid carried a sheaf of 6 or 7 of the same. The bride bore a bouquet of what appeared to be, on quick count, at least a baker's dozen of scarlet American beauties. It was altogether a stunningly white wedding, daintily trimmed in red. And the hunchback of holy angels stood staunchly by as sartorial tragedy in baggy black pants and rumpled Prince Albert coat. When the nuptials were nearing their finale, Brendan Paul left the main altar and began to go gracefully toward the shrine of Our Lady, where they would offer a spray of flowers. They passed within inches of Damien, solitary in his pew, and as they did so, the bride turned toward him and joyously smiled. He, apparently interpreting her smile as a summons, abruptly arose and began to follow her. I saw and heard Tom Tyler tramping on heavy tiptoe down the side aisle, seeking to reach and ride Herd on his hunchback. But he was tardy, for Paul and Brenda, hearing Damien's footfall, had turned and were waiting politely for their uninvited guest. Then the newly become Mrs. Dillard extended her hand and wordlessly invited Damien to accompany her and her husband. After placing the roses on the altar, Brenda, with one hand in Paul's and another in Damien's, bowed briefly in prayer before the image of Mary as the photographer took several shots of the scene. For me, it was a more moving vision than Damien's alleged encounter with the ancient St. Magold. For the young, the poised, and the elegant were linked lovingly with the old, the awkward, and the homely. I even had to cede some credit to Tom Tyler, for the hunchback of Notre Dame had been cherished by the beautiful Esmeralda, and the hapless hunchback of Holy Angels had received bridal affection from the exquisite Brenda Prescott Villard. Now, when I centered at Damien regarding the happening, he replied with me wisdom which sometimes springs from those who are seemingly witless. You and the Monsignor have told me that I have a right to be in this church, he said, but that girl really made me feel welcome. I guess it takes a saint to make anybody feel welcome in the Catholic Church. She is a saint for sure. Guileless but lambasting words were these. I resolved to be more hospitable to the hunchback, but was excused from keeping my resolution because soon after I was sent to another parish. Damien died within that year, and his funeral there were no mourners except two altar boys and six pallbearers, whom Monsignor mustered from his loyal lay henchmen. No, neither Paul nor Brenda came to the funeral, but Mrs. Malcolm John Prescott tells me that the picture of them with Damien is included in the album and displayed not reluctantly, but gladly. Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's story, The Hunchback of Holy Angels Cathedral, was written by Father Thomas Cosgrove from the book The Body in the Basement and Other Stories. For a copy of this story, email Sandra at AveMariaRadio.net. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave